Amen. Father, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you yearn for us. It's amazing, your heart for us. You've never stopped loving us. Your love has not diminished through the ages or change in culture, change in our world. Your love, your purpose, your plan has always been the same. To have a church that stands victorious, a light that would shine, a beacon of hope and strength to a world that's broken, searching for love, identity, searching for direction, discovering more and more that the more we have, the emptier we feel. I thank you for your presence here. Thank you for this church that you planted by your hand, and that many have found refuge and strength and planted here and grown here and been fruitful here. We pray, Lord, once again, that we would know your presence this morning, your anointing. God, you know I need you. That's without question. Have your way, I pray today. Open our ears, open our eyes. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to see you more and more clearly. Bless this day. Bless these moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Welcome this morning. And to if anybody's online, I want to thank Pastor Pavel. I know he's not here, but I do want to thank him for the privilege of speaking this morning to the church. I have three scriptures this morning that I want to read out to you. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and starting from verse 8 to verse 11. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, our hearts felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a great peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. As you helped us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in the answer to your prayers. And in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Oh, sorry, 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Not that we are competent to claim anything for ourselves, but our competency comes from the Lord. Not that we are competent in ourselves, but our competency comes from the Lord. And just one last scripture, and it's in John 3. John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase and I must decrease. All of these scriptures talk about a man or men who came to a place where they knew the only way to get victory over the world, the self and the enemy, was a complete dependency upon God. Men who could say, men who knew God, men who were powerful, men who were so powerful a witness that the Holy Spirit put them in this sacred book for us to see. They were weak men. They weren't mighty super apostles. They were men and they were women just like us. And they're here. And these three scriptures I read to you, I want to just take you through them about how God is looking to bring his church back to total dependency. Paul said, this happened so that we would not rely on ourselves. The title of my sermon is this: Lord, deliver me from me. Lord, deliver me from me. There is a gospel. The gospel is not a call to self-improvement or that we get patched up and just have better lives. In fact, the gospel is a call to complete surrender to Jesus Christ. It's about a completely surrendered life. And I know there's men and women here hungry for more of God, but I do want to challenge us to let the light of God in this morning, because there is a gospel that can shift and it can be just deception, where we start to think that we come to God for what he can do for us rather than a surrendered life for what we can do for him. And no one knew this better than Paul the Apostle. True Christianity is a continuous progress of dying to ourselves. It's not about Jesus just being present. It's about God having preeminence in our lives, having priority, being number one, dethroning of ourselves, and that he comes and takes place as king in our lives, having preeminence, not just his presence. Lots of people can get his presence and not be transformed. We can get his presence and not change. But the preeminence is when we allow him to take his place in our life. Paul in this chapter is setting his circumstances with the church. He said, we give ourselves the sentence of death. We were overwhelmed when the enemy came in like a flood. Our own power, our own strength, our own ability, anything we thought we had, our sufficiency, it wasn't strong enough for what we would experience. Listen to what he says. We were under great pressure, despaired of life itself. He said, I gave myself the sentence of death. In other words, I'm not going to get through this. This is going to kill me. Trials, the tests, the troubles, I'm not going to get through this. It's a bit like Psalm 107:27, where they said, we were at our wit's end. My mother used to say that to me. I don't know if you say it in America. She used to say, I am at my wit's end with you. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what else to do with you. You're beyond my ability. You're beyond my skill. You're beyond anything I knew. What a mother needs, you, Jay. I am at my wit's end with you. And that's what Paul is saying, like Psalm 107. I'm at my wit's end. This storm, this demonic avalanche that's coming into my family, my life, this is beyond anything within myself to overcome this. I give myself the sentence of death, Paul said. I'm not going to come through it. And now, honestly, I don't think anybody here would challenge Paul on his commitment to Jesus Christ. I don't think we would ever wonder, Paul, where is your faith? He had been through so much. And the time he wrote this, he was probably about 50 years of age. And honestly, anything that brings you to your knees and weans you off yourself, take it as a blessing from God. Anything that brings you to your knees, take it as a blessing. In life, there will be lots of opportunities and storms and trouble and trials, but it's an opportunity to die to self. There will be lots of them this week for you to die to yourself. But is Christianity not the progress of me decreasing and him increasing? Should I be the same at 60 as I was at 20? Lord, deliver me from me. Does anybody know what I mean? Have you ever been sick and tired of yourself? Never mind everybody else. Have you ever been tired of you? Have you ever been exhausted about not changing enough and not being able enough? That's what Paul's saying. He had been through so much. In life, take every opportunity to die to ourselves. We live in a world where self-reliance and determination is a badge of honor. I made it through the night. Just pull your boots up. Just get on with it. It's a badge of absolute honor. But I want to tell you this morning, before we get into this sermon, life's circumstances will shatter that illusion. Because there are some things and some storms that are out of your control. And that self-life, that determination, and Mr. Self, it will be shattered. And the illusion will be absolutely shattered. We all have breaking points. We all have stuff come in that we can't take another day. Remember Elijah? Fire on Mount Carmel. A man who knew the power of God. A man whose voice in his generation knew how to declare a prophetic message to a church and to demonic forces. He saw the fire of God came down. He saw the power of God. He saw victory. And yet, there was a breaking point in this man's life when he went under a tree. Nobody said, God, would you kill me? He gave himself the sentence of death. He was at his wit's end. Because the best of men, the best of women, were only men, were only women. And God's not looking for a church of self-improved people. He's looking for a church of men and women who have surrendered and yielded and said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, in Jesus' name. This is what brings glory and honor. God can only get glory and honor out of a crucified life. We cannot control every event. This man Elijah broke down and burnt out. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 11, the first thing we learn about this is this, the purpose. Listen to what Paul said. Everybody say purpose with me for a minute. I love how Paul thinks. Listen to the purpose. This happened so that, mark that in your Bible. It happened so that we would not rely on ourselves. This man's 50. You would think, God, he's had enough. But Paul said, the sentence of death, what I was going through, God allowed this so that we would decrease from ourselves, our own ability. He said he took every bit of ability, all my experience, everything this man had been through. God said, I don't want you even relying on past experiences. I don't want you looking just back there and saying that I had enough strength then. He said, no. He said, God has brought me to the point so that we will say, I will not rely on myself, but God who raises the dead. Listen to Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on the flesh for his strength. And those whose heart turn away from the Lord. So God is saying, those who rely on the flesh, those who turn to the arm of the flesh in time of trouble, he said, you're going to end up turning away from God. The flesh is full of pride and self-sufficiency. You see, listen to Paul's perspective. He had a different mindset. He said, God allowed it so that he wants to bring me to total dependency on him. He is weaning me off myself. He's delivering me from me. Does that make sense, church? You see, I don't know if we hear this very often. It's all about us and how are you, and God delivers you, and God wants to touch you and deliver me from the enemy and deliver me from this world and deliver me from these circumstances. And God said, I know how to give you complete victory. I know how to make you a total overcomer. If you will cry out, God, deliver me from me, I will come and I will possess you. That is the only victory the church will ever have. Men and women who are surrendered and bow the knee in your garden, pick up your cross and say, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the victory of the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is that not the old-fashioned gospel with an old-fashioned message? I think not all of it, okay? Not everybody and not every circumstance, but I think a lot of problems and a lot of issues are coming out of today an unsurrendered life. I know we are living in a different generation. And I know this generation is fighting with stuff that me and you, as some of the older ones in here, we never fought with. But I do have a message for the new generation. It's the same message for the old generation. We had our issues. We had our battles. We fought with our lusts. We too had to watch what our eyes looked at. We too had to watch that we never fell into temptations with the lust of the flesh and all those things that are in our lust. We too had to struggle and wrestle. But I'm telling you, the way through. Maybe not for, do we need counsel? Yeah, thank God. I believe in counseling. But I also believe what my eyes have seen today as a pampered age with a gospel that talks about self-improvement. And I think you're leaving people in a perpetual state of defeatism by preaching an improved gospel. Why don't you tell them the route to victory? Hurry up and die. Surrender your life. And this is what Paul said. This happened so that I would deliver me from me and I would walk in the God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I think that's wonderful. I'm glad I don't need to read 10 books, 10 steps, and 10 how-tos. I'm glad I just need to come and say, here I am, Lord, by the help of your Holy Spirit, lead me to a surrendered life. He's not even asked you to do it on your own. Know what it says in the Bible? Jesus was crucified in weakness with the help of the Spirit, but he was raised again in the power of God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. This happened so that we would not rely on ourselves. You see, God, see, I wanted to say this to you. You can be determined or you can be dependent. God showed me just even not long ago, a month ago, maybe less. He said, there's times in your life where I have brought you to total brokenness. Has anybody ever been there? I mean brokenness, where it's beyond you and you're weeping and you're crying. And know what? I got up. And know what? Because the culture I come from, men especially, just get up, pull your boots up and get on. You learn from your brokenness and you just get more determined. But I want to tell you, God showed me not long ago, some of the times I broke you, it was meant to bring you to a deeper dependency on me, but it brought you to a bigger determination and you've not got stronger. Your heart's got harder. I know a man that God did this with. This is the way of the Holy Spirit. Remember Peter? Peter had foot and mouth disease. Every time he opened his mouth. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it puts a healthy fear of God in us all this morning. And I mean that. Listen to what God said. Listen to what Jesus said. All of you will fall away. Who piped up? Peter. Not me. Not me. Not me. Deliver me, Lord, from me. Not me. They will all fall away. But I won't, because I'm determined. I'm strong. And you know what? God was not trying to destroy Peter. He was trying to make him into a vessel that God could use. He tried to make him into a vessel that God could use. He wasn't there to destroy him. He was there to make him. And so many times, like Peter, there's a danger this morning for all of us, including me, who's been on the road for a little while, when we start to think the word of God is for everybody else but me. God, I hope they hear that this morning. Oh, I wish Billy was here. Oh, I wish Betty was here. This is the morning she should have been here. And God gone, really? That's what you're hearing? Breaking. We can be broken and blessed. It's the grace of God that's doing this. Deep brokenness is not meant to lead to determination. Deep brokenness is to bring the church to a place of total dependency on the power of God, on the Spirit of God, on the resurrected power that makes us overcomers. Can somebody say amen? This is how we overcome, by a surrendered life. That is the key. That's what Paul said, I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Brokenness leads to a cry, God, without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I'm not going to make it. Without you, my flesh is going to overcome me. My old sin's going to come back. I'm going to end up sliding and drifting and backsliding, and I'm going to be in and I'm going to be out, and there's not going to be any consistency. And there's nothing wrong with God. I'm telling you, I believe it's to do with a surrendered life. God's demands are high, but they're full of grace. He said, I'm going to give you my Spirit, and I'm going to lead you to this place of surrender. Because self cannot cast out self. I'm going to bring my Spirit. I'm going to show you your emptiness, and I'm going to show you my fullness. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit, and I'm going to give you all the grace you need for the journey. I'm going to strengthen you like I did with these men and I did with these women of old. And I'm going to bring you home, and I'm going to make you more than. But you have to give me absolutely everything. Do you know that in the book of, I think it's the book of Acts, if I've got this right. In the book of Acts, it mentions Savior, I think, three times. And it mentions Lord, depending on what version you've got, 80 to 120 times. See, I think he is Savior of a lot of people. But I don't know if he's Lord. I know it's so familiar with us now. I pray it penetrates you. There used to be an old saying, and it kind of got very familiar. If he isn't Lord of everything, he isn't Lord at all. Now he's my Savior. I'm loved, I'm forgiven. He's never going to let me go. I'm under the new covenant. I'll never leave you, I'll never forget you. But I want my life to be used and count. He needs to be Lord God. I surrender everything to you. There is a story. I don't know if it's a story or a myth, but I think it's a story. Somebody shared it with me. There was a man in a conference, and he stood up and he said, I remember when I was poor. I had nothing. I had an old Ford, and it was full of rust, bald tires, engine was dying. That's all I had. And God said, give it away. And he went, really? God said, give it away. He said, I give it away. And he said, I'm happy to tell you today, 25 years later, God has blessed me. I'm a millionaire. I've got 3 houses. I've got 5 cars. I've got a boat. And somebody shouted from the back of the conference, I dare you to do it again. Oh, when I got saved, I had nothing. I had less than nothing. It was easy to give it. I had nothing to give. And I'm preaching my walk, and it's not for everybody. But 4 years ago, he told me, do it again, and I did. I'm happy to say, by the grace of God. Not boasting, nothing to boast about. But thank God I'm delivered from me. Because when he has you, he has everything. Nothing wrong with having stuff, as long as stuff doesn't own you. If you can just stay with me, just for 8 more minutes, if you stay with me, and if you can hear the voice of the Spirit, this happened so that we would not rely on ourselves. I honestly believe a lot of issues are because of an unsurrendered life. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of, I feel the love of God wooing people and saying, will you surrender? Will you come again? Will you give me everything? Will you let me bring you to that place of victory? You're fighting in your flesh. You have a deep desire. I sense the love of God in here. I sense there's people here hungry. I sense there's people here struggling. But I feel God is saying, by my Spirit this morning, I want you to come into a place of complete surrender. And by the help of my Spirit, I'll bring you into the cross and into this resurrected life. I'll put a power in you that you can say no to everything that's ungodly. And you can be the man or woman that I've called you to be if you give me everything. I want to read something out to you about Paul. I wrote it this morning, but I put it on my phone. If you just give me a minute. I'm just going to read this out to you about Paul the Apostle. In AD 55, 1 Corinthians 59, Paul says this, I am the least of the apostles. In AD 57, in Romans 7:8, Paul said this, I know that nothing good dwells in me. In AD 60, Paul says this, I am the very least of all the saints. And in AD 63, 2 years before he died, he wrote this, Jesus came and died for sinners, and I'm the worst. Isn't that amazing that he wasn't going up the way and getting better? He's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But in that weakness, he's going from strength to strength. Listen to what he says. I'm the least of the apostles. A couple of years later, I know nothing good is in me. A couple of years later, I'm the least of all the saints. And a couple of years later, I'm the worst of sinners. Now, he wasn't degrading himself. He wasn't pulling himself down. He's recognizing I'm decreasing and he's increasing. Listen to the end of his life. This is the very near the end of his life. He never said, before I go, here's my resume. I was brilliant. I planted churches all over the world. I had a reputation in hell. Everybody knew me. I was Paul the Apostle. I was going to write the Bible. I've been in prisons, but I got out and I preached the gospel. I was stoned and I got back up again. And at the end of his life, he boils it all down to this credential. Listen to his credential. Listen to the humility of the man. Listen to the humbleness of the man. This is what he said. He's just about to leave this earth. I am what I am by the grace of God. Not one word about a credential, not one word how many churches, not one word about a legacy. And I suppose that's not for him to say. The Holy Spirit gave him that legacy. Somebody else will write it. But in his own heart, he knew, I'm leaving the earth. I want the world to know, in case you think I was determined and I was something special and I was strong. I was the least. I was the chief of sinners. I was a nobody. And whatever you saw in me, I want you to know I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And lastly, in 2 Corinthians 1:8 and verse 10, where he says this, he has delivered us. Can everybody say he has? Yes. Anybody been delivered from stuff? Yes. Has anybody got a testimony this morning? I've been delivered. Can anybody through life say, I've had the sentence of death, but here I am today because of the resurrection power of God? Anybody got a testimony of what God has done for you? Anybody got a story of God's provision when the river run dry, all of a sudden there were streams in the desert? Anybody got a testimony? Can anybody look back and shout out, God, you've been good to me? Has anybody got a testimony? Oh, come on, somebody shout, God, you've been good to me and my family. Can anybody look back and say, God, thank you. I never thought I'd come through this brokenness. You weren't breaking me. You weren't destroying me. I was broken, but I was blessed. And that's what he does with the bread and the wine. He broke it. And then he said, I'm breaking it because I'm going to use you. You're going to feed people. And he said, he has delivered us. And then he says, He has delivered us. And then he says, he will deliver us. Everybody say now. He'll deliver you now. He'll deliver you in the present place where you are. And then he says this, and we'll say this to finish. And he says, and he will continue to deliver us. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. And he will continue to deliver us. Listen to this. The kingdom is a paradox. If we lose our life, we find it. If I'm weak, I become strong. If I'm last, I become first. If I die, I live. And to die is gain. What a crazy world the kingdom is. The first is last. To die is gain. And for death is life. And to be the least is first. And know what the world says when it's dying. It doesn't say gain, it says lost. I'm going to look at my house, look at the car, look at everything I'm leaving behind. But me and you, Paul says to die is gain. Would you stand with me for a moment? Would you close your eyes? Lord, can you? Is there anybody who can echo my prayer? Lord, deliver me from me. You see, that's what Galatians is all about. Lord, there's two of me. The old man fights against the new. And I need to yield to the Spirit. I need to yield to God. But I was not saying you need to yield in your own strength. He said, I'm going to bring you to a place of brokenness. You're going to cry out. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to bring you through to this place of life in the Spirit. I know there's people here. Don't wait another 10 years. Don't wait another 5. Don't surrender everything. And that's not a one-off thing. No, of course it's not. That's like taking a drink of water and saying, I'll never be thirsty again. Paul said, I die daily. I need to get up in the morning. And I know I need to live life. I need to take the kids to nursery. Then I need to go and do my job. And then I need to pay the mortgage. And then I need to do that. And I said, don't think that ministry is a pulpit or a name or a person. You are the saints. You are the ministers. And in your daily life, it's not mundane. You are salt and light. Don't you underestimate the power of where God has placed you. But for the light to shine and to overcome, so that when I'm living and I'm working and I've got a bad boss and he's just wearing me down and wearing me down, say, God, maybe you're using this to bring me. Change your perspective. I'm not fighting flesh and blood. Maybe you're using it. Maybe you're using it so that I won't rely on myself, but come to the God who raises the dead. In other words, the God who can do the impossible, the God who can change any situation, the God who can heal, the God who can touch, the God who can deliver. Will you close your eyes for a minute? Why don't you think what's being said? I don't know what you kept me here. I don't know what you thought it would be. But I truly believe there are people here and you can say, you know what? I need a fresh infilling. And God's saying, yeah. Because we say this prayer, and it's a good prayer. And don't ever stop saying it. God, I want more of you. That's a great prayer. But I want you to change it this morning, and I want you to say this, and to hear God saying this. But I've gave you everything. I want more of you. Who's the Holy Spirit speaking to this morning? Husbands and wives and families and the young and the old. Who's he speaking to? You say, there's an area of my life, there's things, there's ground. I forgot what this was all about. I don't want patched up. If any man in Christ is a new creature, the old is gone. The old is gone, the new has come. I've been trying to fight in the natural. I need to come back to the place where I bend my knee, bend my will, and say, Lord, take full possession. And this is an act of faith. It's not a feeling. We're not playing music to put people in the mood. If it's not done in an act of faith, then the feelings will run dry. Is there anybody, I'm offering you right now, just to step from your seat and come to this altar. I'm just going to give you a few minutes to think about that and come. I mean, I know why you're coming. You're coming because you're hungry. You're coming because you're hungry. Is there anyone else who'd like to join them? Come now. Don't hesitate. Come. If you're feeling a nudge, come. I surrender all. You're not losing yourself by coming to the altar. You're finding yourself. You're finding your identity in Him. I'm going to sing a song and then I'm going to pass it back. I'm just going to pray. I've talked enough. But I feel compelled by the Spirit that the victory that we're looking for is truly found in the bent knee in the surrendered will. Then this resurrected life comes in, this other life. Father, I thank you for every man and woman at this altar. Thank you for the hunger in their hearts. Thank you for but they've already surrendered and given, but there's a longing in them for more. Would your Spirit gain ground where there is struggle? Would your Spirit gain ground where the battle has been heavy? Would your Spirit bring strength where they're at wit's end and the end of themselves? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and do this morning that only you can do. As we sing this, stay at the altar. Just stay there until, as long as you're comfortable, stay there until you're ready to get up and let the Holy Spirit bring the love and the grace and the strength that you need. Lord, deliver me from me.